Romans chapter 10, verse 6, Paul speaks of the voice of faith. That is, what does faith say to us? What does faith say to us? Romans chapter 10, verse 6, Moses, and you'd expect this out of Moses, Moses described, the Bible tells us, the righteousness which is of the law. And the explanation that Moses gave was a very harsh message. And the message was this. This is the message that righteousness by the law gives, and you hear. It's recorded in verse 5. That the man which doeth those things shall live by them. That is, if you expect to be righteous by the law, it means you'll keep the law, every jot and tittle of the law, just like Jesus kept it. And if you do, you'll be the second man that ever did it, because he is the first man that ever did it. And he kept the law, and he fulfilled the law, and he put the law on his cross, and he took it to Golgotha, and there he nailed it to the cross, and there he suffered for our sins. He suffered the curse of the law, even though he had kept the law. That's the message of law righteousness. Do it or die. Do it from the time you're born, and do it every second, do it every minute, do it every hour, do it every day, and do every bit of it. And if you don't, if you ever commit one sin, then you've lost every bit of it. Now that's the harshness, the immutability of righteousness by the law. And now Paul writes of the righteousness which is of faith. That is, this is the faith which results in being right with God. And this is what Paul's talking about, being right with God. And the righteousness which is of the law simply says, if that's the program, then you have to get in it and stay with it. And the only man that ever did it is Jesus. But what about the righteousness which comes to us because of faith? In these scriptures that we're studying today, Paul portrays this faith as having a voice and gives the message that it speaks. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, and we understand righteousness to mean everything, the sum total of all that God commands and all that God approves and all that God expects from us. The righteousness which is of faith speaks, that is, it gives an oration, it makes a statement, it says something on this wise, or it says and speaks in this particular manner. There are two things then given that faith never says. It's strange that Paul says, listen, I'm going to tell you what faith that brings right standing with God utters. I want to give you its statement. I want to give you its message. First of all, it never says this. It never, never utters this. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? Do not say, who will scale heaven for us? Now, why would Paul make that statement? Faith never says, who will ascend into heaven? And then in a parenthetical statement, this sentence set off by parentheses, that is, to bring Christ down from above. Christ never would, or rather, the righteousness which is of faith would never say, who will bring Christ back to this earth for us? Faith would never say that. Now, what Paul is trying to establish is this, that the message that God wants us to hear is already here, and what we need to do is act upon it. And he's trying to answer the questions and statements of opposition that people may have who've never exercised faith in Christ, who do not have faith that saves, that have been reluctant to conform to the message of God that has been preached. Faith would never say, who shall ascend into heaven and bring Christ? That's one thing that faith would never say. Another statement that faith would never make, a demand that faith would never claim is, who shall descend into the deep? Now, why would Paul ask that question, or why would that be something on their mind? Again, another parenthetical statement, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. Now, faith would never say, I want to see Christ come down here to earth again from heaven. Faith would never say, I'd like to see the resurrected Christ. You see, this is the kind of demand that people would make who want to have some kind of proof, some sort of dramatic statement made so that it would enhance and encourage their faith, and then they might be saved. They're looking for the appearance of some charismatic leader. They're looking for the appearance of some stoic or philosopher from the East to travel over great distances and to come and present the truth. And Paul is saying you don't need that. What you need is to believe and act on what you've already heard. That's what you need to do. Now, Paul quotes from Deuteronomy the 30th chapter, and from verses 11 through 14, and these are the verses that Brother Pogue read this morning, and I'd like for us to look at them for just a minute. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Now, before we read these words again, let me set the circumstance for you. Moses is near the end of his life and, of course, his ministry. He's been the person who ascended Mount Sinai and brought down the law to the children of Israel. He came to the children of Israel when they were in Egyptian bondage from over the sea, or that is, from across the abyss. And he was a deliverer. Moses delivered to the children of Israel the word of God. And all things necessary to being right with God were in place as Moses nears death. They did not need God to repeat any of the things that he had said or to do again any of the things that he'd done. It's like people who constantly want another Pentecost. It's unnecessary. We don't need it. We just need to use what God gave the church on the day of Pentecost. We don't need another crucifixion. Christ died once for all. And Moses anticipates a problem, and that is that the children of Israel are going to be saying, well, Moses went up to the mountain and brought down the word of God to us. Now, who's going to do that now that he's dead? And Moses came down to Egypt and he delivered us from bondage and led us across the great sea and brought us to the promised land. Moses, who's going to do that now? And Moses anticipates that. And Moses, I think, is saying, your concern ought to be one of doing. They had sufficient revelation. They should act by faith on this knowledge. I think verse 11 and 12 will amply demonstrate my viewpoint. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee. And when he uses the word commandment, he means the whole thing, the teaching, the law, everything that I've given. He said, it's not hidden from you. Neither is it far off. That is, the truth isn't that in some remote, distant area where someone has to go and find it and bring it back. It is not in heaven. The truth that you need to obey God and do God's will, it isn't in heaven. That is, that you should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us? Now notice, that we may hear it and do it. Moses said, don't quarrel with God about the revelation that you possess and say, who'll go up to heaven and bring back the truth so we can hear it and do it? Moses said, you've already heard it. Now what you need to do is to do it. Neither, that is the truth beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who'll go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may what? Hear it, and what? Do it. Moses said, the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest, not hear again, but do it. There is not really a drought of hearing the word of God. There is a great drought of doing the word of God. That's what Moses is emphasizing. He sort of outthought them, thought ahead. Someone after Moses dead is going to say, you know, if we had somebody to go to heaven and find out the truth and bring it back to us and we could hear it, then we'd do it. Recently, a fellow told me when the church was looking for a pastor, he said, you know, Brother Penn, we're sort of looking at some preachers down in Texas. He said, you know, we just maybe need somebody from out of state, out of Arkansas. Just get somebody fresh and new that just, you know, just... And, of course, this was my barber, and I told him, well, if I've been thinking about getting me a barber from Texas. You know, somebody could just really cut hair, you know. It makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? This is the kind of thing that Paul's talking about to the Romans. Paul puts the believers in Rome in the same kind of circumstances, that is, the people in Rome. Christ had come down to them. Christ had died for them. He had been placed in a tomb. He had been raised from the dead. Now they must claim these truths by faith. They must not do what he teaches. They must now do what he has taught them to do. That's the message of faith. You know what the message of faith is? Do it. What do you mean? Well, what is the righteousness which is of faith, or the righteousness that comes to us by faith? What is it saying? It's encouraging us. And it's saying, now do what you've heard. Now put into action the truths that you know. What saith it? Now he told us what it didn't say. It didn't say, we need someone to go to heaven, find out the truth, and come back and preach it to us so we can hear it and do it. It doesn't say what we need is some exotic, strange, charismatic leader from some faraway place to go over there and find out what God wants us to do and then swim oceans and crawl on his hands and knees across broken glass till he finally gets here and announces to us the truth. Brother, if we had something like that, we could hear what God wants us to do and we could do what God wants us to do. And faith never says that. What does it say? What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Now, the word here doesn't mean Jesus. It means that which is spoken. It literally means that which has been preached to you, as you'll see. The thing that we have preached, the things that we have spoken, the truth, the revelation is nigh, near, or... And it means a place and time. It means that you... It doesn't mean near in the sense you could travel a little distance and find it. You know, Pine Bluff is near. No, he's not talking about that. He's talking about it's near. It's in time. It's near in place. It's right now. You can touch it. It's even closer than your own hands. Why, it's in your mouth. It's even in your heart. The truth about righteousness... by faith is very close to you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. And here's the word that he's talking about. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word here again means the declaration, the things that we've taught, the things that we've preached, the promises, and all the other things involved in the truth that comes from God. That is the word of faith. That is the preaching which brings faith. The preaching you have heard us preach about justification by faith, it is near you. In fact, it's as close as your heart. It's as close as your mouth. It's as close as your tongue. We don't have to send off somewhere. In fact, we don't even have to send somebody back to heaven or just sit here and wait hoping somebody will come from heaven and tell us what to do. You don't have to sit there and hope that somebody will come from some distant place across the sea and tell us what to do. We don't need Christ to come back from heaven. We don't need Christ to come out of the grave. That's already happened. We already know about that. What do we need? What does faith say? What's the challenge of faith? What's the utterance of faith? Do it. Claim it. Act on it. It's close. What was the message that they had heard? That is, what was the word of faith? That is, the teaching and the statement that if acted on by faith would bring to them righteousness with God. What had Paul said? What was the essence of his statement concerning how to be right with God? Well, here's it. It was a message that was close in their mouth and in their heart. Here it is. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Now, the word confess here may give us the idea that it means to go down front. Now, that's really not what it means at all. In this usage and in this context and looking at the whole word, here, as it's used here, it means to speak or to say the same thing with another. Therefore, it means to concede and to admit and to agree. So what Paul is saying, that if we will agree with the message, if we will accept the message, if we will admit to the truth, the veracity of the message, if you will say that you agree with this message that we have preached, just say, I agree with God's estimate of me. I agree with the truth of the gospel. I accept this. I admit this as an absolute, total truth. I agree to it. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth what? The Lord Jesus. And I'll emphasize that just a moment. And shalt believe in thine heart. And this is what it means. What you've said with your mouth. If you believe that with your heart. And shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. And I think that was the crucial point that the Jewish people could never quite accept. And that is that Jesus had been raised from the dead. And Paul was saying that is an integral part of the gospel. You can't stop with the death and burial. You've got to believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Not from among the dead, but from the state of deadness. You've got to believe that. That's just the word to the Jews who had a tremendous problem with believing that Jesus had been raised from the dead. And shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. This word believe again means to rely, to trust, to have confidence in, have faith in. Now what are they to do? Well, they agree with what Paul preached. What has Paul preached? Paul has preached that Jesus is Lord. Okay? That means the Messiah, the anointed one, the coming one. And put your trust in him, accepting by faith completely and totally the death, burial, and resurrection. What will happen? Thou shalt be saved. What's the message that righteousness which is of faith speaks? What does it say? Well, it doesn't say we need a teacher from heaven. It doesn't say we need somebody from over the seas. We don't need Christ to come again. Don't need Christ to be resurrected again. We need to accept what it says. And what does it say? Agree with God's estimate of yourself and with Christ and of Christ. And then trust that message about Christ and trust Christ with your heart from your very being, from the depth of your very inner sanctum, from the real you, from the real self. And thou shalt, which is definite, positive, absolute, thou shalt be saved. And that means to deliver from danger or loss or destruction. I want to turn briefly again to the book of Deuteronomy. Because I want you to see what's happening here. Moses has given them this message, and he's saying, the truth isn't hidden from you. It's not a long way off. It's very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. And he continues, see, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou pass over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life. This is what Moses is saying. Moses said, it's all laid out there. Now it's your choice. You can choose what's called here life and good. You've got enough knowledge to make that choice. You don't need somebody to go up to heaven and learn. You don't need somebody to come across the great sea and teach you. You already know all these truths. Now you need to decide. Now you need to choose. And the word is near thee. It's even in thy mouth. It's in your heart. You've already memorized these things. You're already familiar with these things. You don't need any more revelation. You're glutted with revelation. You don't need any more table. You don't need any more food set on the table. You just need to eat what's before you so it can be assimilated and used. He said, I've set before you this thing. You can choose life and death or blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days. Paul said, I preach the truth to you people about Jesus Christ, about his death and his burial and his resurrection. And some of you are saying, well, if the Lord would come back again from heaven, or if we could just see him, you know, raised from the grave again, it would enhance our faith and give us something we could see and something we could go on, and then I'd really believe it. And Paul said, you don't need that. You've heard that. The Holy Spirit has convinced you of that truth. You know that's true. Paul said, what you need to do now is call upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. And here's Paul's explanation of how this works. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. For in the hearts people exercise the faith that leads to right standing with God. Man trusts the knowledge he has and acts upon the knowledge that he possesses and puts confidence in it and trusts it because he's persuaded of its truthfulness. And with the mouth, confession is made of this salvation. That's what Paul means. With the mouth, confession, and that's the same word that means to agree. So when you believe in your heart the gospel message, it's rather strange the way this works. You agree with God and everything God says, and you put your trust in this truth that God has given us, and then you make an audible statement of what this has done for you and how that placing your faith in Christ has brought salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And again, that doesn't mean that, well, I'm just embarrassed to say the name of Jesus. What it means is this, and this is God's guarantee, okay? This is God's guarantee. This is just as truthful as God himself. I mean, it'll work every time. That's what Paul's telling these people. That if you'll do this, it is written that whosoever believeth on him shall not be confounded. That is, you will not ever be shamed by this proving to be untrue. You'll never suffer humiliation because this wasn't the truth. In other words, if you'll take the truth that you know, accept it as coming from God, agree that it's from God, and trust in the person that's presented that truth with your heart, then you'll never be disappointed. You'll be saved, but you'll never be disappointed in what God has done for you. You'll never be put to humiliation because God doesn't keep his word. You'll just never be disappointed. I know a lot of people that's been disappointed in the church. They've told me so. I know people, many people who are disappointed in me, they've told me so. I know people that have been disappointed in my family, they've told me so. I know people have been disappointed in just about everything that man has to do with, and every bit of it may be legitimate. You know, you can be disappointed in me. You can be disappointed in this church. You can be disappointed in your fellow church members, because all of us have at one time or another failed one another. I'm sure the church has failed some family in crisis, some person in need. There's no question about that. But I'll tell you one thing. You'll never be disappointed in what Jesus Christ has done, or will do, or can do. You just never have that kind of shame and humiliation. Let's stand together and sing. And as we do, may we give you opportunity to come and trust in Jesus Christ. The word is nigh thee. It's in your heart. It's on your lips. All you have to do is say it. It's on your lips. All you have to do is say it. It's in your heart. All you have to do is believe it. That's really the message that Paul is saying.